Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of John. The New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe it was even a little bit longer than that, during my morning devotions, I started walking through the book of John. And as I began to read through that book, I was reminded again of one of the disciples. A disciple we don't hear a lot about, but one that over the years has become one of my favorite disciples, because as I read about him and the little bits that are about him, I learn so much about who God is desiring us to be. Today I want to take a little look at the disciple Andrew. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, but not a lot of people know a whole lot about Andrew. And mainly that's because there's not a whole lot in the scriptures about Andrew. As a matter of fact, there are only 3 times in the Bible where Andrew is talked about with any significance. Okay, he's mentioned as a disciple other times. I think maybe a total of 6 times he's mentioned in the Bible as one of the disciples. But there's only 3 times where we actually see some interaction with Andrew. And I want to take some time this morning to walk through those 3 times that we see Andrew. Because I really believe the Lord can speak so much through the life of Andrew. And so, again, if you have your Bibles, John, we're going to start off right away in chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 35 through 42 here to begin with, where Andrew is first introduced. It says here, it's titled Jesus' First Disciples, and beginning in verse 35, it says this. It says, "The next day, John was there again with 2 of his disciples," and this is John the Baptist that it's talking about. It says, "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed," began to follow Jesus. "Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the 2, who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,'" which translated means Peter. In this short scripture, there are 3 things I want to look at in regard to the first encounter that Andrew has with Jesus. The first thing I want to look at is in verse 38. In verse 38, it says, "Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?'" And I want to touch on this verse because I think this verse displays for us the character of the God that we serve. Let me kind of paint a scenario of how this may have played out, okay? So here is Andrew and John with John the Baptist. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking by. And he says, "Look, behold, there is Jesus. There is the Lamb of God." And as they begin to follow him, they just begin to follow Jesus as he points to them. What does Jesus do? Does he just keep walking? No. He turns to them. He even steps towards them. And he meets them halfway. "What do you want?" He speaks out to them. I wonder if maybe there's some of us in this room or some people in this room who have been told about Jesus. And maybe you've tentatively have been kind of watching from the distance, observing, following from afar. I want to encourage you this morning because I believe that Jesus, he's not walking away from you. He has turned around and he's stepping towards you and asking you, "What do you want? Do you really want to know me? Do you really want to experience who I am? Do you want to experience my love? You see, I am so thankful that we serve a God that's willing to meet us halfway, that's willing to take those first steps towards us. This shows us the character of the God we serve. He takes those steps to us. We talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about in Revelations that it says, "Behold what? I stand at the door and knock." And we talked about how Jesus, He comes to us. And He waits, and all we have to do is open the door. And I think this scripture just shows us the character of God that we serve. And I'm encouraged by this scripture. Then in verse 39 is another interesting scripture that stood out to me as I was reading through this passage. In verse 39, it just says this. It says, it was the 10th hour, which is interesting to me because this was thousands of years ago. Why do we need to know what hour that it was? What is the significance of the time? Here's what I'm realizing and understanding. When something significant happens in our lives, we tend to remember everything about it, right? We tend to remember where we were, how it happened, when it happened. And that's whether it's something good or something bad in our lives. Let me give you some examples that many of you, as I say them, you'll go right to where you were at that moment. How about September 11th, 2001, right? 11 years ago. Many of you can recall exactly where you were when you saw those first images or when you heard for the first time. I remember I was driving in my little green 92 Ford pickup on my way to work, and I turned on the radio. I just turned on the radio. I was on my way to work, and I heard what had happened. I remember stopping at the stop sign just like, what? What in the world? And so immediately when I got to work, turn on the TV and sat there, then you begin to see these images and you remember it because it impacted you. Another one for me, eighth grade, first period of algebra, Lisa Wagner walks in the door of the math class with this look on her, and Lisa's normally one of those, she's always got a smile, and she walks in, and I could tell something was wrong. I just happened to see her when she walked in the door, and she said, "The space shuttle just blew up." And many of you remember that moment of seeing that and that experience. And I remember where I was in the classroom, and when she said that, it just impacted my life. And those are the bad experiences. And then I have those great experiences. Like, I will never forget August 16th, 1991, when I'm on the parade deck and I hear those words, "Platoon 2042, dismissed." Oh, it was so good. Throwing up the hat and excited. Just graduated boot camp. 3 months of HE double hockey stick, all right? You know? And the feeling of, I am now a Marine. You know, you've been recruit Hausler, recruit, and now it's private, first class Hausler. You know, you've got a title, you're somebody. And I remember that day and seeing my family and the smiles on their faces and what a wonderful day that was. I remember November 5th, getting close, 1994, as I stood right about at a spot like this and the doors opened up and the most beautiful woman in the world comes walking down to be my bride. Somehow, I landed her. Poor her. But what an amazing day, and I remember everything to the flags hanging up in this church that we asked, all these country flags that make our pictures look horrible, that I said, can we take? No, we don't take those down. But I remember every aspect of that day, what a day that impacted my life. And then, of course, Toby and Emma, the day that they were born, I will never forget those moments, the first time holding them and looking into their eyes. When we have those moments that we experience, those amazing times in our life, we remember everything about it, down to the minute and when it happened and where it happened. And Andrew and John in this scripture were obviously impacted hugely by this encounter with Jesus. So impacted, they remembered exactly when it happened, the 10th hour. God wants to impact your life in a way that you will never forget. Because I've had those experiences too, where God has moved in your life in amazing ways. That you will never be the same again because of those experiences that happened in your life. And that's what happened for Andrew and John in this moment. Their life was never the same again. And then in verses 41 and 42, it says this: the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And what did he do? He brought his brother to Jesus. Andrew had been told, here's Jesus, here's the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And in that short time that he spent with him, he knew. He knew in his heart, and he was convinced that he was the Lamb of God. So convinced that the first thing he did was to go and get his brother and introduced his brother to Jesus. It's an amazing thing. Me and my dad have a great relationship. And one of the things that my dad, you know, your parents pass things on to you. One of the things my dad has passed on to me is a love for old cars. I remember my dad's one of those guys that anything probably from the 70s down, maybe even the 80s down, my dad can look at a car and he can tell you know, what kind of car it is, what year it is. And he just loved cars. And he used to take me to old car shows all the time. I remember whenever old car shows would come into town or there'd be a cruise-in or something like that, he would take me to these old car shows. And because of that, I have a love for old cars in the same way that my dad does. My dad, his dream is a 1934 four-door sedan. My dream is a 1932. I like a little bit older. My dad's, the 34 is a little more rounded. The 32 is a little more square. I like that look. And my dream car, and my dream would be to someday, you know, which I know probably never able to afford it, but a 1932 four-door sedan. And I've got dreams. The paint job has changed over the years, you know, but I would probably, you know, when I was younger, you know, you always wanted the black with the flames, you know, and now I think I'd probably do a midnight blue, but I'd still do the flames. There's something, the Lord in my life, the flames, you know, represent for me the Holy Spirit fire of God, and there's something powerful about flames, and so I think I would still do the flames, you know. So this midnight blue with orange and yellow and red orange flames up across the front, I mean, it would be beautiful. And here's the thing, if I ever got one of those, if I was ever blessed in some way and was able to get my hands on one of those to have, the first thing I would do is I would put a nice little cover over it and I would put it into the garage and I would let no one see it or touch it, right? Do you believe that? Really? No. Don't you? I would do exactly the opposite, right? What would I be doing? Every chance I get, what would I be doing? I would be out driving it with the windows down. Hopefully, you know, that's only 3 months out of the year here in Oregon, but I'd be out there driving it, showing it off, right? Letting people see it. When I was thinking about this, it reminds me of an old commercial, and I don't remember when this commercial came out. I had to have been the 90s, because I was trying to remember where I lived when I saw this commercial. But there's an old commercial. It was back when Kias first came out, I think, so whenever that was. But it was a Kia Optima commercial. And some of you may remember this if you're a little bit older like myself. And it's this commercial where it starts off and you see this nice luxury car. And it pans in this four-door, you know, nice car. It pans into this kind of house and this party going on. And it seemed like a very sophisticated kind of upscale party, you know, drinking champagne and people all dressed up nice. And then you see this man go and kind of walk towards the window, and then it pans back at the car, and you notice that this nice car is there out. It's kind of dark out with the lights on. And then you hear this gentleman say, excuse me, there is a four-door sedan outside with its lights on. So everybody comes to the window and they look out and they're all like gawking at this, you know, beautiful car. And then one of the guys says to the guy that said that the lights were on, you know, the one that said somebody's left their lights on, he goes, "Hey, Dan, isn't that your car? And then he responds by saying, why, yes, yes, it is. And it's that male inside that when we have something we're proud of, we like to show it off, right? One of the things that we're really good at as men is showing things off, showing off the things that we're proud of, whether it be our cars, you know, whether it be, you know, our nicely landscaped yards, whether it be our beautiful wives, you know, whether it be our muscles, you know, it's like, which way's the beach? You know, it's like, it's that way, you know, the world is not square, it's round, you know, whatever it may be. Not that, you know, I'm sagging a little bit here as I get older, but you know, whether it's muscles or whatever, we love to show things off. It's like, that's why you go in the gym and you see the guys always kind of like this in the mirror, you know. You know, we're trying to show off what half the time we don't really have, but we love to show things off. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The reality is the fact is that all these things I talked about, over time, will eventually fade away. They will. They will fade away, right? Cars, they get old, and they rust, and they have problems and issues. They will fade away. Our houses, our landscaping, you know, over time, they fade away. Our wives will always stay perfect. We won't touch that one. But our muscles will weaken, and it will all fade away. Every one of those things I talked about will eventually fade away. But Jesus is eternal. And Jesus is one of those things that we should be proud of. We should be showing Him off. If you take pride in anything, you know, Paul talked about boast in these things. Boast upon the Lord. We should be showing off. We should be introducing Him to our friends and showing Him to our family members. The first thing Andrew did was he went and got his brother. And as we continue through these scriptures, we'll see that Andrew had a way of bringing people to Jesus. He had a way of introducing people to Him. We can learn a lot from Andrew and these three encounters that we see of him in his word. If you jump with me over to John 6, let's look at another encounter with Andrew and how once again we see him bring someone to Jesus. In John chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, I love this story. This is the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000. When I was a little kid, it was one of my favorite stories to read, to see how Jesus filled up all these baskets of food with just a small few loaves and a few fish here, but it's an amazing story of Andrew and how he plays a part in this. And so in John chapter 6, verse 5, we pick it up. It says this, it says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each one to just have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Here again in verse 8, we see Andrew bringing someone to Jesus. And here's what I believe. Just the fact that Andrew brought this little boy, all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Andrew knew that. Just the fact that he brought this boy to Jesus in the first place would lead me to believe that Andrew thought or had faith that Jesus could take something little and make it big. I think some of us at times feel like we don't have much to give. Who am I? So often we feel small. And compared to God, we are. We feel weak. We feel incapable, inadequate. And I wonder if Andrew himself didn't have some of these feelings. Because when you look at the fact that he's only in here 3 times and you look at his life, I wonder if Andrew himself didn't feel this way. I mean, not everybody knows who Andrew is, but they all sure know his brother, right? people always refer to him. We just read it in the scripture as Andrew, what does it say? Peter's brother. Any of you ever get that in life? All right, I know I did. I got that a lot. My sister, I had two older sisters and one younger sister, and I had my sister that's just 2 years older than me in high school. She was very popular in the church youth group, very popular just in school. She was just well-known, a good student. People just liked her because she was just a friendly, a loving, caring person. And I remember it was always, oh, you're Deborah's brother, or she goes by Deborah now, actually, back then. It was, you're Debbie's brother, aren't you? Yes, I'm Debbie's brother. And I'd hear that time and time again. You know, she was student body president. Oh, you're Debbie's brother, you know. And then she graduated, and my little sister was 2 years behind me, and it's time for everyone to see Darren's sister, right? But my little sister was like one of the most popular freshmen in school and one of the most popular girls. And it's like all of a sudden, it's not Darren's sister. It's, oh, aren't you Denise's big brother, you know? And it's like, wait a second here. That's not supposed to work this way. I love now that my sister's moved down. You know, when we were in Newburgh, same thing when I came to Newburgh. They're like, oh, you're Deborah's brother. And now that she moved away, now when they come back up, it's like, oh, you're Darren's sister. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You're my sister. But what we've experienced that, and Andrew was experiencing that. And here's the thing, you know, though he was one of the first disciples, he was the first two, one of the first two. It was always Peter, James, and John who went places with Jesus. So who were the first two disciples? Andrew and John. Who gets to go places with Jesus? Well, John does, and his brother Peter does, and James, but Andrew's kind of left back, right? And to think it was Andrew who introduced his brother to Jesus. I wonder if there weren't times where he's like, I should have never introduced him to that guy, you know? So I wonder if Andrew didn't go through some of these same things, feelings. And so the reality is we may not feel like we have much to give, and the fact is in and of ourselves we don't. But here's the thing, if we do give God what we do have, just like in this amazing story in chapter 6, just like the five loaves and the two fish, God can take it and multiply it for His glory. Andrew may not have had much, but he did have a Savior that he loved very dearly, and he did a great job of introducing people to his Savior. Jump with me one more verse here, John chapter 12. Verses 20 through 22, this is the third time that we see Andrew talked about with significance in the Bible. In John chapter 12, verse 20 through 22, it says this. It says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. What's the significance of this scripture? Here's the thing. This scripture is actually a very significant scripture, really, in the life of the church and in the future of the church. This is the first glimpse we see of a gospel to all the world. You see, the fact is, these men were Greek. And that's the significance of this scripture, that these men were Greeks, okay? Not geeks. There's a big difference between Greeks and geeks, all right? These men were Greeks. You got to say it, pronounce that R. These men were Greeks. And the fact was that Greeks were not Jews. Two different people, okay? You're tracking me? Yes, okay. So Jews only associated with other Jews, okay? Back then, Jews and Greeks, they didn't associate. The Jews only associated with other Jews. And here these Greeks come, and they want to see Jesus. And Philip, he's like, I don't know what to do. Philip doesn't know what to do because Jesus is a Jew, and Jews only associate with other Jews. So Philip's lost, like, I don't know what to do. So what does he do? He goes to Andrew. What does Andrew do? He does what we've seen him do the other times in the Bible. He brings these people, these men, and he introduces them to Jesus. You see, I believe again, seeing Andrew do this, Andrew was convinced that Jesus was the Savior and that he was for all people, not just for the Jews. He was for all people, like the old Sunday school song goes. He was for red, yellow, black, and white. All of them, right, are precious in his sight. He was for everyone. And so he brought them to Jesus. And he opened up the gospel to all the world as he brought these Greek men to Jesus. Three stories about Andrew. All three times we see him introducing people to Jesus. He was convinced Jesus was the Messiah. Are you convinced that Jesus is the Messiah? Are you convinced that Jesus is the Savior? And if you are, how well am I? This is to me. How well are we introducing him to others? You see, as a pastor, it's real easy for me at times to say, well, I'm introducing people to Jesus all the time. I'm up here speaking. I'm always introducing people to Jesus. I'm sharing the word every week. But I want you to know, I really believe that this message, as I came across the scripture these 5-6 weeks ago, whatever it was, the Lord really challenging me in this area to introduce him to others outside of church. How well am I doing outside of these walls and introducing others to Jesus, to my neighbors, to the people that I see in the grocery store, to the people I come in contact with every day in my kids' schools, wherever I go? How well am I doing it? Am I doing well at introducing people to Jesus? The big question here, though, is how do I do it? How do we do this well? How do we introduce people to Jesus? I want to share with you a little video. It's kind of just a funny little video. I came across a new group of people that, I don't know what you call them, but they put out these great videos, just illustrations of certain. I want to share this video, and then we'll talk about how we do it after we watch this video.
Jesus, I am so excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh, man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you, so let's get started.
Okay.
What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. I mean, you drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay. Okay, you know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
What are you doing? I am waiting on my coffee, fighting off a panic.
No, Kat. What? The problem is, you're too comfortable.
So, what we learned from that is, that's what I get paid to do, so if you need me to call and talk to people, just call the church and I will go take care of it. So that's why I showed you that video. No, the reality is if we are going to really be people who are effective at introducing people to Jesus, it's going to mean that we need to step out of our comfort zone. It's going to mean that we need to put ourselves at times in uncomfortable places. You see, when we love something and we're proud of it, we want to show it to others. Great example this weekend, or this last week. Because of the school having Fridays off on Thursday night, the varsity game was played here at the high school. And at halftime, the third and fourth grade Little Dragons, which Toby is a part of, got to play under the lights at halftime in front of the crowd at Dragon Stadium. And it was so fun because, you know, with it being both teams or the Dallas Dragon, little guys, there's the Black Dragons and the Orange Dragons. And it was so cool to see everybody cheer, you know, for both teams. And they were having the time of their life. And one of the cool things is that I guess there's a photographer that takes, local photographer that takes pictures of the game every Friday or every time the varsity plays. Well, and you can download them for free. And so there were pictures, he took pictures of the game, and where Toby was standing, he was in a lot of the pictures, and you saw him running to make the tackle, and actually he was one of the first guys as the varsity Dragons were coming off. He's standing with a big smile on his face, high-fiving them as they come off the field. And so I was so proud of just that night and how fun and how well he played and how awesome it was that, you know, I sent out an email to all my family members and some of our friends, you know, that we have a good relationship with, and I just, it was titled Toby Under the Lights, you know, and I sent these pictures with little captions, Toby on his way to make the tackle, and Toby making a tackle, and all these things, and I share it because I was excited, and I was proud of it. We like to show the things off that we're proud of, and as a church, this should be true about our relationship and our love for the Lord. You see, Andrew loved Jesus so much, and he believed in who Jesus was, that he faithfully shared him with others, that he introduced others to them. God's called us to love him and to love people to extend his kingdom. That's the mission of our church, to love God, to love people, to extend his kingdom. It's learning how to love and accept people until they ask us why. It's loving people in such a way with the love of the Lord and caring for people in a way that God's called us to that it causes them to say, why would you love me in the midst of this? Why would you care for me in a situation that has nothing to do with you? Because it's in those opportunities that we get to then introduce them to Jesus. When we love people and care for people the way God has called us to, it's naturally going to open up doors and opportunities for us to introduce them to him. My prayer for today is this, that as we have looked at these scriptures this morning and received some of the treasures that God has for us, that we would see a God who is always willing to take those first steps, to meet us halfway, to meet us where we're at. That we would see a God who's willing to take us as we are, regardless of our failures and our weaknesses and our shortcomings. And he's willing to multiply us for his glory, to make us into the men and women of God that he's called us to be. That we would see a God who died on the cross to be the Savior, not just for Jews, but for all people. And that in seeing these things, it would make us want to be people who let his love shine through us in a way that we're able to introduce others to him. Because that's what it's all about, to go into all the world and to share the gospel. We've been called to do that. And I have at times fallen by words of, who was it, St. Francis, I can't remember who it was, but the words, speak the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. I love that because we should live it through our lives and people should see it. But here's the thing. When it comes to truly introducing people to Jesus, words are necessary. There are times where we must open our mouths and speak the truth of Jesus into people's lives. And that's what God's called us to do. I want to be someone that I don't care if I'm talked about once, twice, three times like Andrew, but that when people talk about me, they say something he did well was introduce people to Jesus. Let the love of Jesus shine through him. That's my desire, and I hope that's your desire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you for Andrew. Well, there are all sorts of people in the Bible that we can easily look over because they're just in little spots here and there. But Lord, Andrew was one of your disciples. He was a man that loved you. And Lord, we don't see a lot of him, but I imagine time and time again There are numerous times besides these that he was doing what we see him do here, introducing people to you, letting his love for you shine through him in a way that draws others to a relationship with you. Lord, that's what you've called us to do. My life scripture, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. Lord, that's what you call each of us to do, to live our lives in your love and in your grace and in your mercy, and to extend that to others in ways that draws them to you, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to do this. Teach us how to be people who truly, faithfully introduce others to you, Lord. Allow your word today just to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us. How well are we doing in this area? Lord, I'm convicted at times in my neighborhood and in places and sports teams where I forget the names of my neighbors. I forget the names of these parents with my son's team, and that I really should know them better and be better example of your love to them. Teach us how to do these things well, Lord. How to live the life that you've called us to live. How to truly be people who go into all the world and to allow your light to shine through us. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Allow it to challenge us, but also encourage us, Lord, as we go out these doors. Because out there, Lord, are the people who need to experience you. Out there are the people who need to be introduced to you. Give us those opportunities. Show us how and when to do those things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.